If you just turn to Matthew chapter 5, we're just going to carry on looking at the Beatitudes. My voice has finally dropped after 54 years. Sorry, I've got a bit of cold, but I'm going to try not to be too long. This Beatitude has really not rocked me, but spoke to me in a very different way as I've been reading through and praying through. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What comes to mind when I ask you what purity means to you? What is the first thing that comes to mind? And I'm going to ask you to share that with the person next to you. What's the first thing that comes to mind? And if you just want to share that with someone near you, behind you, in front of you, your gut reaction to the word purity. My daughter said to me yesterday, the thing that comes to her mind is herself. And then she started to laugh. And then she said, snow. So that might be something that you have. So if you want to tell me and everyone else what the person next door has said to you, what purity means to them, just shout anything out. Clean. Anything else? Clean. So a glass of water. Do you want a glass of water? Glass of water, something that's clean and pure. Anything else that comes to mind? There's no right and wrong in this, by the way. Sorry? Soap. Yep. Absolutely, pure soap. Remember the old coal tar bars, Bill? I still get them. They're beautiful. They're lovely. Anything else that comes to mind when I mention the word purity? Okay. First thing that came to my mind was a pure glass of orange compared to that diluted rubbish. And a lovely big, sorry, you know it's food, so you know it's this is where I am. I always think of food. Or a big, beautiful rump steak instead of one of these burgers that's got lots of rubbish in it. So to me, that were a bit of purity. This one, this blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I just want you to think about this. Because all of a sudden, even with these Beatitudes, even though they're so challenging, and knowing that we can only live these in Christ and by his Spirit, because he's the one who enables us to do that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. I'm thinking about angels that are around God, these holy angels that didn't fall or sin or go through all that rebellion. These are the ones it talks about in Revelation and also in Isaiah, that when they're in the presence of God, they cover themselves up. And these are holy angels. But God has got his own holiness. This is even more holy than the angels. And these angels are covering themselves up. Wow, and you're thinking about Moses. Moses, let me see you face to face. And God says, no man will ever see me and live. But you will see the kind of afterburn of my glory. Let me put you in the cleft of the rock. Because it's going to be too much, Moses, for you to see me. Wow, goodness me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this is Jesus teaching and he's speaking. This is just unbelievable. One day we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. God, are you dangling carrots here that I can't reach? Why are you telling me this? Why is this here in the Beatitudes? Because, Lord, I can identify where it says that blessed are the poor in spirit. I get that. I can identify with that. I can identify mourning over my own sin. I can identify kind of being hungry and thirsting for righteousness. But Lord, I am struggling with purity. And I'm going to be teaching this morning, maybe in a way that you've never really thought about regarding what it actually means in the original Greek. What is purity of heart anyway? Two things. Number one, a pure heart is undivided. I think Kerry's got these up. Thank you. A pure heart is undivided. Number two, a pure heart is clean. It's not talking about us being sinless, that sinless perfection kind of teaching, because that'll never happen until we meet Jesus face to face, until he calls us home. Listen to Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 to 14. This is what it says. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, not that I've already obtained it or have become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I haven't got hold of it yet. And this is what he said. But one thing I do. And this is what it means to be pure in heart. It means to be undivided. This one thing I do. He is so single-minded, so steadfast. He's pure. Nothing can get in the way of that. And this is what it's talking about here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are the things that you and I struggle with every day. I don't know if anybody watched the Billy Graham funeral. Wow. If you haven't, you need to. It's a really moving, powerful service. Billy Graham was a man who was undivided. His heart was focused upon the vision that God had called him to do. And he was pure in that. Nothing at all deviated from this vision that God had given to him. And this is what it's talking about here. Blessed is the heart that is undivided. Psalm 86 verse 11 says, unite my heart. Why is this writer crying out like that? He's crying out because what he's saying to God is, my heart's all over the place. I'm all mixed up. I've got all different kinds of thinking. Sometimes I'm blowing hot and I'm blowing cold, and I say this and I say that. And that is being a divided heart. So the psalmist cries out and he says, Lord, unite me. Help me, Lord, not to be diluted in who I am as a Christian. Listen to Elijah on Mount Carmel. I love Elijah. He's one of my favorite characters. He's mocking the people about their God. Maybe your God's gone on holiday. Ooh, maybe he's even sat on the toilet. He's really, really mocking. And then he cries out to the people and he said to them, how long are you going to be double-minded? How long are you going to be between two opinions? And this is kind of showing about people who have got that divided heart. And a person who is pure in heart is undivided. Listen to James. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So to be pure in heart is to be focused, single-minded, honest, sincere, not double-minded in their commitment and their devotion to God. There's a few things I want to really highlight as we move into this. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sometimes you and I, during the day, we kind of feel pure, but it's not long before we're not pure. So we're kind of on and off during the day, if that makes any sense. And so there's a few things that I want to really bring home to us this morning, things that are so, so important. Number one is that you and I, we understand what it means to be justified. Everything's going to be hanging on 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I know that, but I want to bring home the reality of what it means to be pure in heart. And now we see God from everyday life. Something really precious happened last week. One or two people kind of clicked onto that, what God was doing. And that's what I'm talking about. That's where we see God every day. We see God working in people's lives, and we see God working in my life. But this beautiful word called justified, it says, God, because of Jesus, has dropped all charges against us. It's all been removed. It's been cast into the deepest sea. All our rebellion, all our shame, all our guilt, all our sin, Jesus has dealt with all that. And God says, I have removed that from you. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed it from you. In other words, it's not part of you anymore. I have thrown it into the deepest sea. And there's a big sign up saying no fishing. So don't go back there. I have removed it from you. This beautiful word called being justified. Listen to these words. It says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God won't bring back a debt that he's already paid. That's a powerful quote. God will not bring back stuff that he has already paid for. So being justified through Christ, through the power of his cross, it's a legal transaction. It's something that's done and it's signed and it's finished. Isn't that beautiful? That's amazing that God will not kind of put that debt back on me because it's been paid in full by Jesus. Hallelujah, amen, thank you, Lord. Justification, 1 John 1:9, for he is just. And the reason that God is just is because of the power of the cross. The other thing that's linked up with that is forgiveness. And this all links in with being, how blessed are the pure in heart. Forgiveness is a relational thing. When I've done something wrong against Ruth, she lets me know. No, when I've done something wrong against Ruth, I know that I have to put things right because I need that forgiveness. So when God has forgiven you in Christ, which he has, and the reality of that is beautiful. It's a relational thing. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world, you and I, to himself. So it's a relational thing. Forgiveness is incredible. I don't know about you, but I have, years ago, I lived a life, maybe like a bit like Pete, where I didn't forgive, and that unforgiveness built into anger and hatred. And yet, all of a sudden, when I come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, and he forgives me, and he forgives you, and we still do that, we still forgive each other, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Listen, it says, once we were enemies, now in Jesus we are friends. So being justified just happens once. And you and I really, when we receive Jesus, we receive his life, this abundant life. But we know that he has forgiven us, and it makes it easy to forgive other people. But the second part of that is when it comes to being clean. So number one, a divided heart. Or an undivided heart is someone who is also not just forgiven, but a heart, a life that is also clean. And I think Carol mentioned that. Shoes, brand new pair of shoes. It's not long before they need cleaning. I'll tell you a funny story, because I remember when I met Ruth, she must have had 400 pairs under her bed of shoes. She's going to kill me for this. There were no legs on the bed, because the bed was just being held up by shoes. And it's funny, because it's passed on into my kids' family, my kids' life, because now my son, he must have, 60 pairs of trainers. I think Ethan's 3-year-old. He's got like 30 pairs of trainers. So it must be one of them things that kind of pass on. But again, it's not long before a new pair of shoes need cleaning, because it picks up the dirt from day to day. New cars, when you get a new car, either jet black or silver or diamond white, it's not long. As that car drives around, it will actually need cleaning. Being justified is a once and for all thing, but being cleansed daily is really important. It's really important for the believer, for the Christian. And this is what I've put here. We tend to be okay with confessing to God. We tend to be okay with forgiveness, but with cleansing, we struggle. And I don't know if we struggle because do we really believe that God can actually cleanse me? All the muck and rubbish in my life. I know that God's forgiven me, but to be clean? God, are you powerful enough to really do that? Have you heard this phrase? I'm sure you have. Oh, that person's got a bit of baggage. And I have got a bit of baggage. Have you heard that phrase? That phrase doesn't fit here. How can you and I have baggage when he washes clean? And sometimes you and I really, we struggle with this, really inside, because we still carry stuff. And sometimes we get so frustrated with our Christian life. I get forgiveness, I get confessing to God, but really underneath, I don't know if God can actually clean me. course he can, because that's what he says and that's what he can do and that's what he's really, really done. Listen to Micah chapter 7, verse 9. It says, your sin has gone. There are times in our lives where we wrestle with all kinds of things. My thinking, my desires, sometimes my compulsive behavior. I don't see how they can change. I believe that God can forgive, but I just don't see him being able to cleanse me of stuff. And so this is our life. We don't get purity. We struggle with purity. Therefore, we don't see God doing anything. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, and he will cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. So we don't have to carry any kind of baggage. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they will see God. And we'll see God from day to day. He sanctifies, he makes us holy. For without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Listen to Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for all mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Wow, and that becomes a reality. The washing of regeneration. So after that, when I know that God can not just forgive me, but I stand before him clean, he's done a washing within my life. He's got rid of my compulsive thinking and behaviors. He can wash us. The washing of regeneration. So now there's a renewed energy. There's a new direction, a new affection. There's a new strength in my heart and in my thinking. And so this beatitude, folks, goes really deep. Blessed, if you remember what it means, happy, happy, happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These purity of heart comes from the previous four beatitudes. They play a major role in living the next three. The reason why I'm saying that is because Jesus laid it out as a bit of a progress and a momentum. You might be thinking, well, I'm not going to start at the beginning. I'm just going to come straight in and I'm going to kind of try and be pure. The only problem with that is maybe your motivation won't last long. So you'll only try for a certain amount of time. So how do I get to that? I get to that by going right back again. I need to mourn again over my sin. I need to be really real with God. I need to ask him to help me to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because then he says that we will be filled. Purity of heart is being proactive. I'm just going to read out a few verses. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. It says, let us cleanse ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, purify yourself. So in other words, there's an active pursuit. There's something for you and I to do, because Jesus has done it all. So for you and I to, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. This justification, all linked up. Justify, he will forgive us and he will cleanse us from all sin. There's nothing that God cannot forgive and cleanse you from. Absolutely nothing. Sometimes it's just stuck in our thinking that he can't. Sometimes what's stuck in our thinking is, God, this is a big stretch for me at this moment in time. I don't really know if I can really grip what you're saying to me, that you can actually cleanse me from everything that pollutes in my life. Even some of the past things that maybe you've been forgiven of, and you know that, but the cleansing of it has not really taken place. And God wants you to know that in Christ, He wants to do that in your life, to remove, to cleanse, to clean, to wash, no matter what it is. Wow. That's the power and the love of Jesus. But sometimes that responsibility is on us. You know, many, many people get saved and they change. Wow. The evidence of God in a person's life is beautiful. And sometimes people become a Christian and they hardly change at all. Many become just an older version of what they were before. Same issues, same problems. Here's Jesus with his disciples. They're in love with him, and even though they fail, that they still belong to him. And there are times when Jesus said, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Believe that I have the ability to do what I have said." So purity. Do you know what I first thought of when I thought of purity? I thought maybe it's something that when we're growing up in our early teens, that we kind of lose. And that's maybe because of life and kind of where we're brought up. We lose that purity. But this is what God said, is that I want you to begin to start to pursue what it means to have a life and a heart that is pure. Jesus says this is something that we begin to go after. We pursue. To go after the clean, undivided heart. Listen to what it says. Every person will purify himself even as Christ is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. I'm just going to finish off by reading something from Max Lucado, however you want to pronounce his name. Here we go. He said, "God's promises of gladness and joy. The poor in spirit are beggars in God's soup kitchen. Those who mourn as sinners anonymous, bound together by the truth of their introduction, hi, I am Pete, and I'm a sinner. The meek, the pawn shop piano played by Van Cliburn, he is so good no one notices the keys are missing. Those who hunger and thirst are famished orphans who know the difference between a normal dinner and a Christmas feast. The merciful, winners of the UK lottery who share the prize with their enemies. The pure in heart describes it as physicians who love lepers and escape infection. The peacemakers are architects who build bridges with wood from the Roman cross. The persecuted, those who manage to keep an eye on heaven while walking through hell on earth. It is to this band of pilgrims that God promises a special blessing, a heavenly joy, a sacred delight. But this joy is not cheap. What Jesus promises is not a gimmick to give you goosebumps or a mental attitude that has to be pumped up at pep rallies. No, Matthew 5 describes God's radical reconstruction of the heart. So a pure heart is number one, a heart that is undivided. And number two, a pure heart is clean. Wow. To know that God in Christ can wash us clean.